You know how it is when you get a song going through your head and you can't get it out, it just goes round and round and round. Well, I had a song going through my head this past week as I've been thinking about our gospel passage that we just heard, the famous passage with Jesus calming the storm. And as I've been driving around the province, which you may know about, this song has been going through my head. Even though we've had other things on the car stereo, this song has been going around in my head. Hopefully this will work. Of course, it never works when you want it to, does it?
It works when you need it.
Technology.
Sing it.
It's my friend to sing it.
See why it might be going around in my head. It was full force gale, and the music itself sort of even creates that vision in my head of the wind swirling around and the waves beating into the boat, with the cadence of the music and the quite crowded arrangement with all the musicians playing together and Van's voice straining there against the wind almost, you know. Like a full force gale, I was lifted up again. I was lifted up again by the Lord. And no matter where I roam, I will find my way back home. I will always return to the Lord. And the gentle evening breeze, by the whispering shady trees, I will find my sanctuary in the Lord. I was headed for a fall. Then I looked up and saw the writing on the wall. Like a full force gale. Lifted up again, I was lifted up again by the Lord. And as I hear that song and hear that music, I have vision in my head of Jesus and the disciples in the boat being tossed about by the waves, as we heard. And yet, in the midst of all this tumult and turbulence, Jesus is asleep. Asleep on the cushion. Well, he must have been very tired. He'd been teaching all day and he was exhausted, and maybe the rocking motion of the waves lulled him to sleep. I don't know. Of course, the disciples are panicking. We're going to die! Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? It starts with that, doesn't it? Like a full force gale, I was lifted up again. Do you not care? Do you not care that we're perishing? And it echoes the mentality of the ancient Israelites when, if things didn't go well with them, they would say things like, well, perhaps God is asleep. Where is God? And yet, of course, we know when we set out now that God doesn't sleep. Not if God is God. God doesn't sleep. God is the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. And yet, we hear verses in the Psalms about the Lord must be asleep. Where is he? Up, Lord, and smite thy enemies. All of that sort of stuff. And we have that mentality too sometimes. Subconsciously, because when we say it out loud, we know it's absurd, but we think, where's God? God's asleep. God's absent. God's gone on vacation. Or perhaps God doesn't care. God doesn't care that we're facing the storms of life. And yet, again, when we say it out loud, we say, no, well, if God is God, then God does care. So Jesus wakes up and he rebukes the wind. The word in Greek is the word you'd use to quieten down a yapping dog. You know, settle down, settle down. Right, son, Jesus rebuked the wind, and the wind settled down. And he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And there was a dead calm, which I guess means the boat kind of got a bit stranded on the middle of the lake. They had to get the oars out. And then he turns to them and he says, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Well, why are you afraid? Well, it's pretty obvious why they're afraid, isn't it? They think they're about to capsize and drown in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. They're in the middle of a storm. Of course they're afraid. And on another level, they're afraid not just because of the storm, because the storm represents for them a loss of control. It's the waters of chaos. And so the storm acts as a metaphor for the chaos that threatens our lives. My circumstances, or things that confront us. We are aware that we are not actually in control. And although we like to think we are, we're not. And sometimes, in our better moments, perhaps, when we look back on our lives and see how they have unfolded, and we think, isn't that amazing? You know, it's like that old song, you know, "What a difference a day made." You know, that if you'd been at a different place at that particular time, your life might have gone in a totally different direction. A bit like that movie, Sliding Doors, if you know that one. It's the classic where she either gets on the tube in London and her life goes one way, or she misses the tube and her life goes another way. And then on another level, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? We heard at the beginning of the Gospel passage, Jesus saying to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." It was his idea. This journey was Jesus' idea. He's the one that said, "Let's go across to the other side." So, he was sitting in the boat, he'd been teaching all day, there was no room for him on the shore because there were too many people, so he was in a boat, and they took him with them just as he was. And other boats followed as well. And then the storm arises. But the point I'm saying is, Jesus suggested the journey. It was Jesus' idea. And that also has a correspondence in our own lives. If we have eyes of faith, to see that actually God is at work. It's not only that we're not in control, but that God is in control. And that God is guiding our lives, even by ways that we may know nothing about. Like that famous prayer of Thomas Merton. I know some of you have got stuck on your fridges at home. "Oh God, I do not know where I am going." That one, you know. And we've got it on our fridges because we think, yeah, that's it. Amen. "Oh God, I do not know where I'm going." But it's a prayer of trust that God does, and God is leading us and guiding us through the storms. And what are the storms? Well, we don't have to go very far to have a few examples of the storms. Roger just read us a whole list from St. Paul, where he says, "In afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labours, sleepless nights, hunger." And he could have added, "Shipwrecks." And in fact, he does elsewhere in this same letter that we'll probably hear in a week or two, where he talks about being shipwrecked twice. So that's interesting, isn't it? We've got the disciples of Jesus in the boat, and Jesus calms the storm, and we have St. Paul, and the storm didn't get calmed, or at least not until the boat had broken up, and he was having to cling to a piece of timber and float around in the Mediterranean for a while. And yet, even then, God was with him. Even though the storm didn't get calmed before the boat broke up. And it's a reminder that whatever the storms are, if we have the eyes of faith, then we trust that our lives are held and are being guided, and that we do not have to fear, or rather, we do not have to fear the storms of that health diagnosis that you may have received, or that someone that you love may have recently received, or facing aging, as we all are, and finding that we can't do as much as we could before, or can't remember as much, or we don't make the connections, we're not as quick as we were. And that reminds us that we are frail. It reminds us of our own mortality. And therefore, when we're confronted with our mortality, the things in our lives somehow get reordered. Priorities change when you know there's a finite limit. And of course, along with mortality is bereavement. And we've all been through the storms of bereavement, and we'll go through them again. And yet, again, we get through when we are able to trust. Well, there's the storms that arise because of relationships, and in particular, damaged relationships, broken relationships. Perhaps with a partner, spouse, parents, children, siblings, colleagues, former friends, or even friends. Human beings have an ability to butt up against one another and misunderstand one another and make assumptions and get cross wires and damage each other and bruise each other. We do that. It's part of the storms of life. Storms surrounding finance. Nothing creates a good bit of anxiety like thinking of money. Personal finances, of course, and, believe it or not, church finances in the community of faith. So often it seems we are about to be engulfed by a wave of fear that it's all going to come crashing down, the roof's going to fall in any minute. Not this minute, but it will. And anxieties as we look out on the world, perhaps this is where we might have most apprehension, when we look at our TV screens, the internet. Of course, we know we can't believe everything we read, but we see victimization, persecution, oppression, human beings being inhumane to other human beings. Human beings negating the humanity of other human beings. Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, but to such as these belongs the kingdom of God. And we may fear for the world. We may fear instability. And we should. I've just finished reading a book on the history of Greece, just because I wanted to. It's a connection with my dad, who was a classicist. But also, I'm aware that the history of Greece and Rome, the classical world, is our history. It tells me where we've come from and who we are. And as I've read that book, I thought that more and more. And my eyes have been opened and I thought, aha, oh, so that's why. But the thing about it is, a failure, and the tragedy of the failure, of Greece was that they were always fighting each other. Different Greek city-states against different Greek city-states, and they would make alliances and they would fight each other. And the reason was because, oh, guess what, their economy. It was all run on gold, basically. I mean, we have oil today, but they had gold, which is also just like oil, you dig it out of the ground. It's not as useful as oil, though, because then you sort of put it back into the ground, or we do anyway. But their economy was run on gold. And of course, when they ran out of gold, the way to get more gold, apart from mining it, of course, was to go and take someone else's. And that's what they did. Or if they needed more land, they would go to another island, kill all the people there, or perhaps, if they wanted to make a buck or two, kill all the men so that they couldn't rise up and fight them, and then sell all the women and children as slaves. That's what they did. Not much has changed, perhaps. But the point about it is, it was a wonderful civilization, and there were times of peace and harmony, but not many, and they were just interludes. Most of the time, they couldn't get it together. They just fought one another. And so eventually, it all fell apart. It took about 500 years to fall apart. The last 50 years, it fell apart pretty quickly. And the Romans were rising. But it's a reminder that although we enjoy peace and prosperity where we are, and stability, that stability isn't a given. And when we look around the world and see what's happening in the Middle East, and even to the south of us, and what's going on, it's a reminder that there may be storm clouds brewing. Now, I say that not to increase our fears, or maybe I do, but that increasing of fear is to awaken faith in us. And I think that's what happens when the disciples say to Jesus, "Do you not care that we're perishing?" They wake him up. And what's effectively happening here is they're waking up their faith. They're waking up Jesus. And there's a sense in which we too need to wake up Jesus in us, or wake up the consciousness of Jesus. It's not that we're saying, "Jesus, do you not care?" Because when we say it, we know that Jesus does care. We're waking up the one who does care, and who has led us into the very storms that we're facing. And we too may hear that voice of rebuke. "Why are you afraid?" We can answer on numerous levels why we're afraid. Have you still no faith? Well, that is a question. Have we still no faith? And we're told that at the end of this little episode, the disciples were filled with great awe. That's how it's translated in the version we heard. But the Greek literally says, they feared a great fear. They feared a great fear. So there's a sense in which they were afraid at the beginning because of the storms of chaos that were going to engulf them and that they would perish. And at the end, that fear has subsided. Because now they're in the presence of one who literally has awesome, that overused word awesome, literally awesome power and authority. But it's the fear that awakens faith. The first sort of fear is the fear that somehow denies faith. But this is the fear that awakens faith. And so as we face those challenges, those storms in our lives, the invitation of this gospel is to not to deny our fear and our apprehension about whatever it is that we're afraid of, but but to allow that fear, to acknowledge that fear, and allow that fear to awaken faith, awaken Jesus within us. Like a full force gale, I was lifted up again. I was lifted up again by the Lord.